The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee!
I'm a baby.
What do you think I am, a loaf of bread?
You could be. Why do I know? I'm just born. I'm a baby. I don't even know if I'm under a tree or in a hospital or what. I'm just so glad to be here.
Well, I'm a baby, too.
Have it your own way. I don't want to fight about it.
What, are you scared?
Yes, I am. I'm a little scared. I'll tell you why. See, I don't know if I'm a boy or a girl yet.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, if you're a boy and I'm a girl, you can beat me up. You think I want to lose a tooth my first day alive?
What's a tooth?
Search me. I'm just born. I'm a baby. I don't know nothing yet.
You think you're a girl?
I don't know. I might be. I think I am. I've never been anything before. Let me see. Let me take a little look around. Cute feet, small, dainty. Yep. I'm a girl. That's it. Girl time.
What do you think I am?
You? That's easy. You're a boy.
You sure?
Of course I'm sure. I'm alive already 4 or 5 minutes, right? I haven't been wrong yet.
Gee, I don't feel like a boy.
That's because you can't see yourself.
Why? What do I look like?
Bald. You're bald, fella. Bald. You're bald as a ping pong ball. Are you bald?
So?
Boys are bald and girls have hair.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. Who's bald, your mother or your father?
Well, my father.
I rest my case.
You're bald, too.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
Don't look.
Why?
Oh, a bald girl. Yuck. Disgusting.
Maybe you're a boy and I'm a girl.
There you go again. I told you. I'm a girl. I know it. I'm a girl and you're a boy.
I think you're wrong.
I am never wrong. What about shaving?
What about it?
You just shaved, right?
Wrong.
Exactly. And you know why? Because everyone's born with a clean shave. It's just that girls keep theirs and boys don't.
So what does that prove?
Tomorrow morning, the one that needs a shave, he's a boy.
Well, I can't wait until tomorrow morning.
See, that proves it. Girls are patient. Boys are impatient.
Yeah? What else?
Can you keep a secret?
Absolutely.
There you go. Boys keep secrets. Girls don't.
Go on.
Are you afraid of mice?
No.
I am. I'm terrified of them. I hate them. Squeak, squeak, squeak. What do you want to be when you grow up?
A fireman.
What did I tell you?
How about you?
A cocktail waitress. Does that prove anything to you?
You must be right.
I told you I'm always right. You're a boy and I'm the girl.
I guess so. Oh, wait. Here comes the nurse to change our diapers.
About time, too. I have never been so uncomfortable in my life.
Hey, look at that.
What?
You see that? I am a girl. And you're a boy.
Hey, it sure looks like it.
What do you think of that?
I can't understand it.
Well, it sure goes to show you.
What?
You can't judge a book by its cover.
What does that mean?
How should I know? I'm only a baby.
So am I. Goo.
Goo.
So apologists for the police state will tell you that if you have nothing to hide, then you have no reason to fear. government surveillance. Or translation, you should have no worries just as long as you are a good German. Excuse me, but I am not the problem around here. So let's say, just for the sake of argument, let us assume that you and I have been personal friends for many years, and that you know me to be an honest and good-hearted person. Next, let us conjecture that I were to approach you and ask you for all of your passwords, for all of your bank accounts and email accounts and social media accounts, and also asked you for access to all of your medical records and for the ability to track your phone and or your car everywhere that you go, and the ability to record all of your phone calls so that I can reference them anytime I want into the foreseeable future. Well, I am thinking, you would tell me that I was nuts. And I am thinking that the people who claim that you need not fear government surveillance as long as you have nothing to hide would also tell me that I was nuts. And so I find myself wondering if they are saying that they would not trust a trusted friend with all of that information, yet evidently they do trust the frigging government with all of that information. Really? And speaking of governments, I am outraged. For the district attorney for the city of Seattle is going to take one of my misdemeanor convictions away from me. He has announced that the city of Seattle is going to expunge all misdemeanor convictions for possession of marijuana that have occurred within their jurisdiction, which happens to include one of mine. Now, I earned my police record. I am proud of my police record. Now, I spent serious time acquiring that police record, I will have you know. And now, you have some bureaucratic boob over in the Seattle City Hall take it upon himself to just expunge my record willy-nilly without even asking me what I may think about it. This is pure arrogance. Call his office now and object. Actually, for the benefit of newer listeners who are unfamiliar with my tongue-in-cheek method of disseminating information, I guess I should explain at this point that I am indulging in pure sarcasm here, and I do not actually want you to call the Seattle DA to complain about this. His stated reason for expunging all of the misdemeanor marijuana convictions is because Seattle's marijuana convictions disproportionately affected people of color, and that those folks should have that burden removed from their lives. And that is a goal that I am actually fully in support of, and I actually commend the Seattle DA for doing this. And if anything, you should call his office and thank him.
This is the Office of Emergency Management for the state of Michigan with another tip for saving money in your city.
When you cut maintenance funds to your schools, the rats get in, and their cost benefits will amaze you. Rats, especially big rats, raise the overall population of a school while demanding no educational resources. They also grow to maturity much faster than human children, ensuring an accelerated graduation rate. Finally, rats require no cafeteria services and are just happy to eat wires.
That's another money-saving tip from the Office of Emergency Management for the state of Michigan. Remember, we don't just value your children. We calculate their value down to the penny.
And meanwhile, spokespersons for the Rumps non-administration have just announced that the United States plans to spend over $1 trillion, that's trillion with a T, in order to upgrade our nuclear weapon arsenal. Wow. Awesome. That's probably the very last thing in the entire freaking universe that we actually need. And it's only going to cost us $1 trillion. What a deal. Now, I just heard Amy Goodman on Democracy Now blame this insanity upon the Rump. Actually, though, that policy is pure Barack Obama. The Rump is merely carrying on. Newsflash here, kids. Both the Democrats and the Republicans work for the same Goldman Sachs. And by the way, at the risk of sounding obvious, I would point out that $1 trillion is a lot of money. I would point out that $1 trillion is probably a lot more money than you think it is. In order to demonstrate this, let us first consider $1 million. A little easier figure to wrap your head around. And then, let us consider how much money $1 million is, and what your school or what the ACLU could do with $1 million. Next, let us consider the fact that 1 million seconds is a little over 11 days. That 1 billion seconds with a B is just over 32 years. And that 1 trillion seconds with a T is just over 32,000 years. Yes, kids, a million is 11 days. A trillion is 32,000 years. Like I said, $1 trillion is a lot of money. And while they aren't getting nearly as good a deal from the Democrats, the immigrant community did recently manage to demonstrate yet once again that the entire substance of the entire Democratic Party consists of nothing more than empty words. Yes, kids, after months of soaring rhetoric insisting that there was no budget deal without a DACA deal, Senate Democrats demonstrated the level of their commitment to their empty words and threw the DACA kids under the bus by passing the Republicans' new budget deal without a DACA deal after all. And meanwhile, over in the House of Representatives, or the People's House, Democrat leader Nancy Pelosi evidently felt that since the DACA kids had just received such a royal screwing from the Senate, then that meant they thus warranted an extra heavy-duty bonus level of empty words as she subsequently made a passionate 8-hour speech on the floor of the House in order to demonstrate to the DACA community that actually the Democrats still had their backs. Never fear. However, when later asked if she was going to seriously whip this issue and insist that all her members vote against the new Republican budget deal unless the DACA kids were taken care of, well, Ms. Pelosi joined Senate Democrats concerning the level of their commitment to their empty words and replied that actually, no. She wasn't going to take it that far. And 73 House Democrats joined all of the Republicans and voted with them to pass their new budget bill. One thing I will say for the Democrats, they are consistent. And so now, it is time to stretch out your suspenders and put on your dancing shoes, because the toothless old grandpa is here to take us away! Hey, Grandpa, it's been a while. I was hoping we would be airing on KAOS by now, but that is still not happening. Well, did you tell them that the toothless old grandpa makes regular appearances on your show? Why, it so happens I did mention that fact during my last communication with them, and I actually did get a response from the new general manager stating that he was planning on giving the Thunderbolt a listen sometime soon, and that he would let me know. Well, son, did I tell you that once folks learn that the toothless old grandpa himself would be making regular appearances on your dinky little show, then the word would spread, and that very soon thereafter I would have legions of dedicated followers standing in formation ready to unleash serious whoopee wherever and upon whomever I may decide to project my awesome new power. I don't remember you putting things in quite those terms. But indeed, you have said similar such things on several previous occasions. First off, I just wanted to reassure you that you do not need to worry none now, son. Because even though I is now a bona fides celebrity, I will still let you tell your friends that you know me. Oh, wow. Since this is actually my show, then I've got to say that that is a very large gesture on your part, Grandpa. Large in this particular context being in reference to a certain pair of cojones that you appear to possess. Why, thank you, son. I think. But I do have one concern here. My understanding is that KAOS is a college radio station. Am I stating the case correctly?
You are indeed, Grandpa. Chaos is a project of the Evergreen State College in Olympia, which, I might mention, is, in the opinion of this host, one of the finest liberal arts colleges in the whole world. Though I must disclaim that the views expressed on this show are not necessarily the views of the Evergreen State College, or even of myself sometimes.
Well, I've got to give it to you straight, son. I have never been all that impressed with college folk.
Oh, no. Well, on the one hand, I've got to admit that is a cause for some concern, Grandpa, since a major portion of our new listenership at KAOS would consist of college folk. On the other hand, though, I understand that your role here on this show is to sometimes say the kinds of things that maybe I'm too cowardly to say myself. In addition, I found that attempts to censoring the constant flow of outrage that tends to erupt unfiltered from your toothless mouth is usually a zero-sum game at best and a highly counterproductive tactic at worst. So tell us, Grandpa, why are you unimpressed with college folk?
Well, the last time I was hanging out on a college campus, I heard a bunch of students talking about pi r squared.
Yes?
Come on, son. I expect more sense out of you, at least. Where I'm from, even the chillins all know that pi are round. Cornbread are square.
Jeez. You know, I noticed that time seems to have a habit of passing. So what say we get down to things now? What do you have for us this week, Grandpa?
Well, son, I gotta tell you, we live in a very dark universe. My whole life has almost seemed like an outlined course upon learning how many things there are that I do not know. The more I learn, in fact, the more I learn how much there is that I do not know. Probably the mind-blowingest fact of which I have ever become aware is a fact that hardly anyone seems to know about and that hardly anyone seems to give proper weight to, even if they do know about it. Consider this. Everything in the universe that we can see, that includes all of the stars and all of those billions of galaxies and all of those quasars and supernovas and all of the other wonders out there that our tech has revealed to us. Well, all of that combined makes up less than 5% of the mass of our universe. The other 95% is almost utterly invisible to us. We cannot see it. And not only that, but we cannot touch it. We cannot hear it, or taste it, or smell it. Dark matter and dark energy does not interact with light or with normal matter as we know it. And thus, it is almost completely impossible to even detect it, much less study it. And in fact, the only reason that we can even speculate that it is there at all is because it does have gravity. And dark matter's gravity does interact with the portion of the universe that we can smell, hear, taste, and feel. And thus, we can detect what they're pretty sure is dark matter and dark energy, though it does need to be noted that the existence of dark matter and dark energy is still technically considered to be a theory, because except for its gravity, And since dark matter and dark energy is otherwise undetectable, the existence of dark matter and dark energy is thus very hard to quantify. But all of this means is that we do not even know what the vast bulk of our universe even is, much less what it does, what its properties are, or what it is capable of doing. In fact, we're not even completely sure that it even exists at all. Do you know what all of this means? This means that humanity knows just about jack all. Sometimes I think that humanity gets far too big for its britches.
Grandpa, you totally defy categorization.
Well, son, that's kind of the whole point.
And we's gonna take a quick station break. The Thunderbolt will be back in just a minute.
The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt.
According to Mark Twain, you should never pick a fight with someone who buys ink by the barrel. So, dealing with conservatives is in some ways very easy, as it almost always possible to predict what position they will take upon any given issue. All you need to do is figure out whatever the most cold-hearted, mean-spirited, obtuse, and cruel position it is possible to take on any given issue. And just like a homing pigeon, that is right where they go. It almost seems like instinct. Liberals, on the other hand, exasperate me because, with but a couple of exceptions, on the whole, I support nearly every stated position that the liberals have on nearly every individual issue. That is, of course, distinct from the actual positions that are actually taken by Democrats once they get elected. And I also understand that liberal support is necessary in order to actually get anything done. And I understand that some liberals
do actually do a lot of good things, and that a lot of them are good-hearted people doing what they feel is the right thing to do. However, when it comes to actually dealing with liberals, the issues are not always the issue. So I have finally been hearing a lot of concerns being expressed by a wide variety of commentators from a wide variety of perspectives, both left and right, concerning the political polarization that our country is currently experiencing. We are splitting into opposing enemy camps, and we are not talking to each other, just like the machine wants. And that polarization is happening within the ranks of both the left and the right, also just like the machine wants. As long as we are fighting with each other, we continue to ignore them. So I have been calling out this polarization as something that should be a central concern of ours for many years now. So those of you who have been with me since 2012 may remember that during the election that year, I wasted quite a bit of time on right-wing websites trashing Republicans, and on left-wing websites trashing Democrats. I was trying to get people on both sides of the political divide to abandon both parties. And I found the responses to these posts to be quite revealing. The right-wingers almost invariably responded with their pre-packaged, fact-free crap, but they almost always stuck to the issues. They very rarely became personal. The left-wingers, on the other hand, almost invariably completely ignored whatever issues or facts that I was presenting, and instead, they would immediately launch into personal attacks on me, usually by insulting me and or calling me childish names. Now this was consistent. There were occasional exceptions, but these were almost invariably the responses I got from both sides. If anything, the right-wingers were usually eager for debate, whilst the left-wingers almost never had any interest in debate. The conservatives almost always stuck to the issues, while the liberals almost always attacked the messenger and completely ignored the issues. And here is the best way to tell when a liberal has no argument. They will say this: yawn. Yawn. Yes, that is the stereotypical, arrogant, condescending, liberal manner of letting you know that they are so far superior to you and that their perspectives are so much deeper than yours that they need not deign to even lower themselves to acknowledge, much less debate you. The implication being that you have absolutely nothing to say that has any value, and you can completely be dismissed as a non-entity. And liberals wonder why everybody loathes them so much. So anyway, I recently posted in my newsletter a critique of the Olympia Standard podcast. I lavishly praised where I felt such praise was due, and I critiqued where I felt critique was due. I spent time and thought, and I think I raised some valid points of debate, especially on the gentrification and homelessness issues. I sought to perhaps widen their horizons and to perhaps provide some perspectives that they had not previously considered. I think I raised some very important local issues that need to be discussed and debated, and since I happen to have created a widely read venue suitable for public debate, then I think that was a good place to discuss such issues. I was hoping that maybe I could provoke a response from them that would maybe serve to widen my own horizons and maybe provide some perspectives that I had not previously considered. Maybe there could be some clarifications and explanations, or maybe they could fill me on some relevant facts that I did not know about. Whatever. I was open for a discussion and or a debate upon reformist strategies versus revolutionary strategies and or upon the costs and benefits of gentrification and or about whatever. While that was what I was hoping, I figured that it was probably much more likely that they would simply ignore me. However, they chose to do neither. They evidently felt the need to take things personal and to deploy the classical, stereotypical, liberal dismissal combined with the personal insult. Yes, kids. This was the response from the Olympia Standard. Yawn. Oh, wow. Somebody yawned at me. I'm emotionally devastated. I will assume that response came from Danny Madrone, though the responder was only identified to me as the Olympia Standard. So in my critique, in my newsletter, I mentioned that while I held Dani Madrone in the highest regard when it comes to her work, that I really do not like her very much personally.
Well, both of those facts are still true, only the first is now much less so, while the second is now much more so. All right, that's it for the news and commentary section this week. For Seattle listeners, I'm going to fill out the rest of the hour with some music. This band was a major influence on lots of other bands in the 70s, and while you may have never heard of them, some of your favorite musicians from those days have. This is Mott the Hoople.
Juvenile delinquent wrecks. Oh man, I need to be like a mule. It's a real mean team, but we can love. Oh yes, we can love. And my brother's back at home with his Beatles and his Stones. We never got it off on that revolution stuff. What a drag. Too many snacks. Nah, I drunk a lot of wine and I'm feeling fine. Gotta raise some cab to bed. Oh, is that concrete all around? Or is it in my head? Yeah, I'm a dude, man.
Oh, the young dude.
Hey, dudes.
Carry the news.
Where are you?
Boogaloo dudes.
Stand up.
Carry the news.
Carry on.
That was Mama's Little Jewel. Before that, we had All the Young Dudes, and we started that set off with Soft Ground. All those songs from Mott the Hoople. I believe that was recorded in the late 60s. Awesome music. And that's it for the Thunderbolt, so we'll see you next week. Peace. Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to Dana 98501@gmail.com, and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here, the Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes, or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net, where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.